You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This is April the 8th, 2022. And we're watching more reports come out about what happened in Ukraine at a rail station. It's being called a gross violation of international humanitarian law. This railway station in eastern Ukraine, scores of civilians waiting to board the train, many women, children, elderly, and suddenly they were fired on by Russian artillery, missiles, rockets, it's not clear. But as Ukrainian President Zelensky stated, the Russian military, quote, is an evil that knows no bounds. The estimates dead, 50 is a small number, 100 plus is more, and among those, an uncounted number of children. By the way, the U.S. is expediting the entry of Ukrainian refugees as increasing numbers are arriving at the southern border with Mexico. That's right, they figured out, as I've been telling you, the jihadists will figure this out as well. You need to get into the U.S., you want to get in the U.S. as soon as you can, get your way to Mexico and then come across the border. It's that easy. Now, I'm all for bringing the Ukrainians in, and if they identify themselves as Ukrainian, and I guess they're going to have some kind of proof, well, then they're going to expedite and make sure they get in. That is a true asylum claim. That is part of our immigration policy. Opening the border just because you want another job or you want to move somewhere else, that's not our border policy. In the meantime, the Slovakia prime minister saying his country is sending a Soviet air defense system to Ukraine, hoping it will save many innocent lives from the Putin regime. And now comes words that European leaders agreeing to phase out Russian coal imports, a new package of sanctions, an oil embargo could be next, all forms of Russian coal banned from the European Union. That's going to be about $8.7 billion worth per year. Now, if they go after oil, which they should be, but the problem is the cost it will mean for Europeans living without oil and gas. That's because they made the decision to become too dependent upon Russia. Back during the Reagan administration, they were advised, do not put all your faith in Russia to bring you fuel and oil. And, of course, in this country, Donald Trump made sure we did not have to have any. We were energy independent. We had oil wells going. We had all this activity underway and doing very well. Now, not so much, and the Biden administration is asking Canada, can you help us? Well, yeah, if you'd opened up that Keystone Pipeline, we could have done that. Which, by the way, Democrats on the House Energy and Services Subcommittee yesterday trying their best to grill big execs from ExxonMobil, Chevron, BP, Shell, blaming them for all the prices going up. It's all their fault. They're price gouging during this crisis. The answer from one of the Chevron CEOs said, I want to be absolutely clear. We do not control the market price of crude oil, nor natural gas, nor refined products like gasoline and diesel fuel. And we have no tolerance for price gouging. Now, of course, you can disagree. Go ahead. I don't care. Disagree. But the Biden administration is going to blame oil and gas companies. Not not really what they were doing prior to that time by making us no longer energy independent. They're going to blame them and Biden. Riddle me this. Who's going to get the blame for this? The U.S. Postal Service announcing it will raise postage prices by July 10th. That forever stamp, is going to be 58 cents. It's now going to cost you 60 cents. Back in August, before Ukraine, it already moved from 55 to 58 cents. Forever stamps, you know what that now means? Under the Biden administration, forever increasing.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I believe you'll see Hunter Biden subpoenaed before the Oversight Committee, and if he doesn't show up, we'll hold him in contempt like we should anybody else who doesn't show up to that particular committee. And there are more questions than we have answers for at this juncture. And when we're talking about election interference, the election interference by mainstream media to bury this story, to not allow the New York Post's original story to be shared on Twitter and other social media platforms is enormously problematic.
Yes, because they were trying to hide everything when it first broke 17-plus months ago, right ahead of the election. They did not want the Hunter laptop from hell exposed and the documents contained. It was all an effort by, at that time, mainstream media, now state-controlled media. We're just going to ignore it. Just say it's not right. It's wrong, and it's not even a story. Why? Because that could have, according to various polls, could have changed some votes. So even if you're looking for any evidence of the election being mishandled, let's say, and I'm using a very nice term, you have to ask, I thought you were a news organization. We're going to get into that very part of that story a little bit later when it comes to so-called ethics and today's news journalism. But here you heard in that opening remark from Congresswoman Nancy Mace, Republican, South Carolina. She's on the Oversight Committee. And said, I believe you're going to see Hunter subpoenaed because we are going to investigate what was going on back then and who was responsible and why and how and so forth and all the names and all the documents. We're going to bring them all out. And not only what he was doing, but how it all ties back to Daddy, Papa Joe, the big guy. Remember how many times during the campaign leading up to the voting and he got support from 50-plus intel, former intel agents signing a letter saying the whole Russian laptop is Hunter laptop is a Russian collusion, just something formulated by Trump and the Russians so Trump could win the election, when in fact, it was bought and paid for by the Hillary Clinton Foundation using Democrat congressional monies, Democrat national monies. And they were all lying, and they were lying to the FBI and big tech also joining in to help the mainstream state-controlled media keep the story silent. And no one would really ask legitimate questions. And when they did, Joe Biden was quick to just dismiss them and point to, look, there's no evidence there whatsoever. Let's go back to the campaign trail that November when he was asked by Peter Ducey, and then some of the other incidents that followed.
Every single solitary, serious investigator, including your network and others, have looked at this, have said there's absolutely zero basis to the accusation that I acted any way inappropriately or that my son did.
So you think that everything that happened was kosher?
You know there's not one single bit of evidence, not one little tiny bit, to suggest anything done was wrong. Nothing was unethical. I am not concerned about any accusations been made against him. It's used to get to me. I think it's kind of foul play, but look, it is what it is, and he's a grown man. He is the smartest man I know, I mean, in pure intellectual capacity.
Every time I hear him make that remark that his son is the smartest man I know on pure intellectual capacity, I'm thinking, what? Well, maybe compared to you, he might be the smartest. But, of course, it was very easy for him to constantly denounce it because no one would come out other than conservatives, Trump supporters, say, shouldn't you at least ask and inquire about it? No. They didn't have an interest because they knew it would blow up on them. And it might well hurt Joe Biden's chances to win the election. This whole idea, when Trump would say fake news media, you saw how fast that caught fire. And when he would say I was being spied on illegally and the Russian dossier was fake and so forth and so on, then they were interested in making a pushback and raising questions. Remember the interview he gave Leslie Stahl, 60 Minutes, right before the election? And he said, why don't you ask Joe Biden as much about that laptop as you're asking me things? Oh, well, Mr. President, we can't do that. We're CBS, sir. There's no evidence. He said, there's evidence. Just go look for it. It's right there. Oh, no, we can't. Well, I don't know what CBS 60 Minutes is going to do about it. But I told you yesterday, CBS started doing its own inquiry into the Hunter laptop and some of the information that had been uncovered. And, of course, it's not just the laptop, but they were looking at some of the bank records that are now in the hands of the Senate committee investigating that, headed up by Senator Chuck Grassley. They're looking for the evidence that ties everything together. So here is how critical, I can't stress to you again enough, how critical this is for the 2022 election. Do you want to get the facts, or are you willing to just say, oh, let's just cover it up, let's go on and forget it existed? Kind of like tearing down a statue of Robert E. Lee ends the fact that there was a civil war. Ends it slavery existed? Of course it doesn't. That's just removing a symbol that you don't like. It has nothing to do with the actual facts, does it? But they don't mind. They don't mind. But again, CBS even. CBS says there are new details about the federal investigation into Hunter Biden. The same corporate media that oversees 60 Minutes is now acknowledging multiple sources saying that Biden and his associates violated tax, money laundering, foreign lobbying laws. These are business records reviewed by CBS News. In one case, 2017, the year after Joe Biden left the vice presidency, an official with the Chinese energy company signed a $1 million retainer for Hunter Biden to serve as a lawyer. Nice retainer for a job if you can get it. How'd he get the job? Well, the same way he got the job at Burisma. He knew nothing about oil and gas and all that stuff. But even he admitted the Biden name probably helped. You think? You think? Senator Grassley earlier this week had said, look, we've got evidence. Bank records and other evidence, not just the laptop, showing six-figure payments from the Chinese energy company to Hunter Biden's firm, which did include President Biden's brother, James Biden. And Senator Grassley said, we still have the situation here where Hunter Biden and James Biden served as a perfect vehicle by which the Chinese government could gain inroads here in the U.S. But again, the Congressman Mace of South Carolina, she says, if we win the 2022 election and gain control of the House again, you can bet your money we will go to work on this.
You're hearing about a possible investigation. You're hearing more come out between James and Hunter Biden, the over 150 transactions that have been flagged for interest for the banks that they were doing that business with, particularly with China. And then when you read some of the alleged emails, it's very clear that there's a potential conflict of interest here between former Vice President, now President Joe Biden, and members of his family. And all of those things should be investigated when we get the majority back.
Yeah, they should be investigated. But you heard Biden a moment ago say, there's not one piece of evidence. And even though now we have some of the mainstream state-controlled media admitting, hey, we covered what was there, there was nothing there. They even now say, as they try to rewrite history and say, there's zero evidence. That's what John Harwood of NBC said the other day. There is zero evidence between them making those statements and Biden's weak excuse each and every time, because he's right, none of them reported on it then, and they found no evidence because they didn't bother looking. Between all of them, Miranda Devine of the New York Post, who wrote the story and then later wrote the book, The Hunter Biden Laptop, Laptop from Hell, said all of these are failing.
It's just not sustainable to continue with this line that Joe Biden knew nothing about his son Hunter's overseas business dealings. That was a refrain that he told us regularly before the election. But, you know, now there is so much information out there, not just from the laptop, but also from the devices and the testimony of Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden's former business partner, who met with Joe Biden twice. Also, all the material, the Treasury Department documents, the money trail that Senators Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson have been putting out there since September of 2020, when their first report was released and was traduced, like our reports were traduced, as Russian disinformation. This just seems to be a go-to excuse by the Democrats, and for some reason, one half of the media, the Democrat-leaning media, just buys it hook, line, and sinker.
Yep, hook, line, and sinker. Gullible as they can be. And yet they're supposedly trusted news sources. And again, Senator Grassley, as we began today's program, pointing out there's a deep, deep concern here that involves all of this money and these connections.
What's concerning to us is there any sort of blackmail opportunity for China against the United States because of those close working relationships? I say it's concerning.
It is concerning. Riddle me this. If you had kind of information like that on a political opponent or a business person you didn't like, would you not use that to make them toe the line and do what you want? China knows how to manipulate and use information, as does Russia. But when members of our own intel agency signed off and saying there was nothing there, Biden wasn't involved, all Russian collusion, they also knew how to lie and make it happen. And now you got CNN and others saying, look, some Republicans voted against things that would hurt Russia. What, are they all part of the Putin pact now? Now, that sounds great, doesn't it? But they didn't look at another part of the story. Stand by.
Today, seven Republicans and two Democrats voted against a bill to ban Russian oil, gas, and coal. And then, of course, there were more than 60 House Republicans that did not vote in support of a statement in favor of the NATO values. What's going on? There does seem to be a number of your fellow Republicans who are in, for want of a better term, some sort of Putin caucus.
Good God. I can't believe he actually decided to use that phrase. A Putin caucus, suggesting those Republicans that voted their conscience and what they thought was right, they must be in with Putin. That's what Jake Tapper of CNN is suggesting. He was interviewing Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa. And yes, he's correct about the facts. Seven Republicans and two Democrats. We'll come to that part a little bit later. But he's mainly pushing the Republican issue. You do understand that. They voted against a bill to ban Russian oil and gas. He said there seem to be several of your fellow Republicans who are, for want of a better term, some sort of Putin caucus. You know what he's trying to do with one broad stroke. Say that these also must be commies. All part of the Russian collusion story. They're never going to let it die. Even though it's been debunked over and over again. All right, let's pick up Tapper's part of his question again and get Senator Joni Ernst and her response.
What's going on? There does seem to be a number of your fellow Republicans who are in, for want of a better term, some sort of Putin caucus.
Yeah, I would say, Jake, it is more of an isolationist attitude. And while I agree with America First, it certainly is not America alone. And you see great bipartisanship throughout the House and the Senate with my friend Chris Van Hollen. Of course, we've found ways to work together to make sure that we are enabling Ukraine to help them win this violent and bloody war, this invasion by Russia, push back on Vladimir Putin.
That is Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, responding to Jake Tapper saying Republicans who don't vote with you must be part of a Putin caucus. Let me break this down for you. The Republicans who voted against a bill that would direct the White House to report to Congress within 60 days on any U.S. efforts to investigate war crimes in Ukraine, turn over any evidence to international investigators, sponsored by Congressman Michael McCaul of Texas, Republican. Now, on one hand, I'd say, yeah, I'd vote for that, but I haven't seen the bill directly in all the details. Congressman Tom Massey did, and he explained this is why he voted no. He said it contains language that could set the table for bringing spurious war crime charges against American service members for mistakes made during military operations in theaters such as Afghanistan. That's his take. You don't have to accept it or believe it or buy into it, but that's why he said no. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene said the bill, quote, would hand over authority and our intel to the ICJ and the ICC, the international commissions, and put our military on trial. That's what they're worried about. It's not that they don't want to put Putin back down and deal with him. And, of course, then when it came to voting to ban the import of oil, gas, and coal from Russia, 6-7 Republicans also voted against that. Senator Joni Ernst again.
I think that's what we need to focus on and stress to those members why this is important to America, why this is important for the stability of Europe and for the world. Again, America first, but certainly America can't do this alone. So we do need to engage.
And I agree with her. And, of course, every time Trump would go around the world saying America first, he was blamed and called a nationalist and an isolationist. No, not true. And in fact, the two Democrat members that he didn't bother really making a big deal out of that voted the same way, Congresswoman Omar of Minnesota and Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri, they also didn't like it anyway either. But he's focusing on Republicans and Putin. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm backing up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm very, grateful, I guess, that people are catching up from the New York Times and the Washington Post and so on. I guess they have finally realized that the laptop is real and that the stories that we ran starting in October of 2020 were legitimate and authentic. And the Washington Post has actually written a editorial in which it says that there's probably a danger in suppressing accurate and relevant stories. I mean, it's amazing that that is a revelation to a news organization whose motto is democracy dies in darkness. That's quite ironic.
That it is. And again, those are the words of Miranda Devine of the New York Post, author, reporter. She wrote the book, Hunter Biden Laptop from Hell, and the first to break the story. And then quoting the New York Times now 17, 18 months later, acknowledging and has said in the past that not giving the right and due attention to a story is basically covering it up. She said, how ironic, but that's what they did. That's what they did for 17-plus months. Now they're suddenly making a turn, and the question is why? And we've talked about this to some extent previously. Could it be because Joe Biden and his team around him recognize Hunter's going to be indicted. This is not just based off the laptop. The emails certainly add some additional information. Not the fact that he was a cokehead or dealing with prostitutes, but money he was making from high-ranking government officials that are adversaries of the U.S., like Russia and China, and even stating that 10% goes to the big guy. The only person the big guy could be in his realm would be Daddy. He also later penned a piece that he sent to relatives saying, hey, you're not having to carry his weight like I do. In other words, I'm paying for everything. And that they apparently pooled money together. And they were office mates at one time. He had a keys made for Joe Biden to use the office. Saskia has denied that. And when it comes to answering questions about the laptop, they just simply say, we don't talk about the laptop. No kidding. No kidding. I'll bet if you even asked her, can you spell the word laptop? We don't do that either. That's how ridiculous this has gotten. Oh, but there's more. You think I'm done? I'm not near done. No. MSNBC, their flagship morning program, Morning Joe. When the story was not breaking about the laptop because it was being covered up by big tech and being ignored. In fact, big tech shut off any links that the New York Post had on its Twitter account, Facebook, or anything else that would promote the story and link any readers and followers on Twitter to go immediately and see the story. They just cut it off because they decided it was false news. They were not going to be involved in spreading false stories. And using that as their basis, they've done the same thing with you if you put up something about COVID they don't like. And certainly me. I know when I originally was telling folks that we've been banned by YouTube for our channel right now, and they said, well, that's a badge of courage. I said, well, I appreciate it, but it's not really. They give these bans out as like a parade with clowns throwing candy to the kids. But MSNBC analyst Claire McCaskill at that time insisted, voters, quote, who voted for Joe Biden knew Hunter Biden was a problem. That's what she was saying. Or she is now. Because they're now trying to turn it around, make it look like, oh, we were covering it. But on October 19, 2020, they were casting doubt about the phony story. They even referred to it that the New York Post story was, quote, false. And said, this is Joe Scarborough speaking, when there's a New York Post article that is false, it is much better for Twitter to let people read the New York Post article and sit there and laugh at the hokey story of a computer repairman looking at a computer going, this sure looks suspicious to me. I'm going to call Rudy Giuliani. Let that out, okay? He said people read it and they'll go, oh, this one is really one of the most stupid October surprises I've ever seen. So they were dissing it. They were not really investigating it. They were just simply blowing it out. He tried to cast additional doubt later in October, highlighting a New York Times article behind the scenes drama regarding those who were allegedly hesitant to put their bylines on the report. They didn't even want to be associated with it. Jonathan Lemire said, this raises all sorts of questions about the validity, about the story, the process of how it came up. And Joe Scarborough's wife, Brzezinski, cited multiple reports about intel agencies investigating Giuliani's dealings with alleged Russian agents. Then Scarborough went on a lengthy rant declaring the whole story was Russian disinformation, summing it up by asking, why are we spreading lies here? Because Biden said no evidence. The campaign said there's no evidence a meeting ever took place. The New York Post never asked the campaign about critical elements of the story. It's come down to America. Giuliani is feeding Russian misinformation to Donald Trump, feeding Russian misinformation to the New York Post. It's so obviously disinformation. The person that writes the story won't put their name on it because they know it's a lie. And, of course, they invited former CIA staffer and NBC news analyst Jeremy Bash, who co-signed the infamous letter from those Extel officials declaring that the Hunter Biden emails had all the classic marks of Russian information. That was then. Now this week, Joe Scarborough and his wife, Mika Brzezinski, are trying to rewrite history. They're saying, no, we covered it. We covered it. I mean, we were talking about it. Brzezinski tried to provide a recap to our viewers with a days-old report from an NBC News correspondent, and also how Morning Joe ignored how the Times verified the controversial laptop days before the Washington Post. In other words, they were so fixated on destroying Donald Trump, they were not going to bother looking nor asking any legitimate questions. I know you're not that surprised. I know you're not. But what I'm going to start sharing with you here is one of these things that, again, says, there are the idiots. Get the kids together. Get them some popcorn. When they show up, say, look, there are the idiots. Watch how they move. Watch how they talk. If their mouths are moving, they're lying. So this brings us to what happened in Chicago. Brian Stelter of CNN was one of those appearing on behalf of the industry to discuss the panel titled Disinformation and the Erosion of Democracy. And he began by saying, I think there's a tension between big American newsrooms. They want to check something out themselves. They don't want to rely on other outlets, but don't want to just repeat and regurgitate. But then there's an audience expectation of being able to instantly cover every story and have every answer. So in September, October 2020, when the New York Post has something, other outlets can't match it, there's this pressure. Why aren't you confirming this? Why aren't you focusing on this? Why aren't you leading this? And he says, it's because we haven't matched it. We haven't confirmed it. Stop it right there. Or is he saying that everything they put on CNN and NNN has been confirmed? If he is, that's going to blow up in his face big time. And he went on to talk about how the New York Times and Post have now stepped forward, and even CNN made a big deal. CNN had a story last week about the federal investigation. But there's more to come. I'm not going to leave you hanging. I want you to see how they walk, how they talk, and every time their mouth opens, a lie comes out. They're programmed that way, including former director of National Intel, James Clapper. Stand by. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottler Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottler, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to Rottler.com, Rottler Pest Solutions.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so recapping for you, Brian Stelter, the CNN left-wing media correspondent who supposedly serves as an ombudsman to let you know what CNN and NN is doing wrong and reporting it to you and making sure that they do their job. But he sells out to Zucker, who's now gone, and who knows how long Stelter's going to be around. He hasn't been doing his job. He's just been doing, carrying the water for CNN and N and whatever Zucker wanted. He didn't bother verifying anything if it came from Zucker. So when he told this group in Chicago, dealing with disinformation and erosion of democracy, he said, well, the New York Times and Washington Post have now done the story and confirmed it. We were being pressured back then. Why don't you do it? The New York Post did. Well, we hadn't matched it. We hadn't confirmed it. Now we have. He said, but then there's a tension between fast and slow, between maybe people don't know how newsrooms work. They just don't know how they work. Stelter, I know how they work. I know exactly how they work. I've got 50-plus years in the business. And I know exactly how you make it work or you make it not work. He didn't tell the conference attendees how top execs at CNN were caught on audio spiking the Hunter Biden scandal. Project Veritas had them on audio. The CNN political director is saying, we're not going to go with that New York Post story. And later he said, he's just not going to do it. We're not going to fall into that trap. Or as Zucker, the president of CNN at the time, said, it's just a rabbit hole. Breitbart people and Fox and some others know about it. We're just not going to go down it. Yeah, that's how your, quote, newsroom worked. It didn't work. It just carried out what it was told. I've done the following orders. And that's what ticks me off more than anything. You invite somebody like this to a conference in Chicago titled Disinformation and the Erosion of Democracy. Well, if I'd been, I do wish they'd invited me. Well, Larry, we know you don't know much about newsrooms or gathering news or anything, but would you at least serve as our host and introduce them? I say, oh, sure. I say, yeah, I'd be glad. This course, everyone, thank you for coming. This is going to be about disinformation and the erosion of democracy. And here are our guests who are also our prime storytellers of disinformation and the erosion of democracy. Wonder how they'd like that. Who the hell invited Larry? Don't give him a check. Oh, I'm going to get my check in advance, I promise you. Then you've got former Director of National Intel, James Clapper. Clapper, of course, had insisted there's Russian collusion involving Trump. He also had previously testified that the Obama administration's NSA, National Security Agency, does not conduct mass surveillance on Americans. So not wittingly. Well, a mere months later is when Edward Snowden released a document showing, yeah, they were. So he caught in that lie, and he still remained as director of National Intel. And, of course, he helped undermine Donald Trump's run for president, all using that discredited Steele dossier, then ignored the Hunter laptop story. And he still sits at the University of Pennsylvania's Executive Board Center for Ethics and the Rule of Law. Do you folks at the University of Pennsylvania Center for Ethics and Rule of Law have no shame, or do you just not have what you claim to have, ethics? Now, last week, the story broke that CBS might be hiring a Trump friend as a contributor. Oh, the CBS staffers are so upset. You can't bring a Trumper into here. Then the word came out that White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki might go to MSNBC. And even NBC grew so loud with their complaints that the president of NBC had to place an emergency call to the D.C. newsroom and say, hey, hey, don't get so upset. I don't run MSNBC, but you just have to understand that, you know, if she's hired, she's hired. And, of course, the question being raised, how can you still stand there and act like you are being nonpartisan, non-biased as a White House spokesman when you got a cushy job with a lot of money waiting for you at MSNBC? And I'm sure Rachel Maddow is thinking, she's coming after my job? Oh, my God. Hey, remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.